From the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization, this is FAO Talks.
Some 258 million people in 58 countries and territories face acute hunger, according to the 2023 Global Report on Food Crisis. And over two-thirds are there because of climate and conflict. These hunger figures are impacted by pressing humanitarian crises in conflict-affected places like Gaza, Ukraine, and Sudan, or by climate shocks caused by extreme droughts and floods.
There is no food security without peace and no peace without food security. But now, more and more, we are dealing with the impacts of climate change. We have seen firsthand how conflict leads to hunger and malnutrition, and it is no coincidence that half of the world's hungry people live in conflict-affected zones. According to the 2020...
On February 13, Beth Bechtel, Deputy Director General at the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations, FAO, addressed the UN Security Council. She said that climate and conflict are the most important issues requiring urgent and collective action to address global food insecurity. We interviewed the Deputy Director General about how the international community should respond to humanitarian crises resulting from conflicts and climate shocks. We also asked her what FAO's comparative advantage is in tackling these mounting and long-term challenges, as proven in Afghanistan, where data shows an improvement in the food security situation. Thanks for joining us, Deputy Director. First, I would like to start with Gaza. What is the current food security situation there?
There are really unprecedented levels of acute food insecurity, hunger, and near famine-like conditions in Gaza. It's really an unprecedented situation. We have categories for how we measure acute food insecurity, the IPC phase classifications, and in IPC 3, 4, and 5, which takes us from emergency to crisis to catastrophe, all 2.2 million people in Gaza are in those categories. And we've never seen that before. Sadly, it's difficult for us to be on the front line to provide really any kind of agricultural production support because, candidly, most of it has likely been significantly damaged, if not destroyed. Prior to the conflict, the people of Gaza had a very self-sustaining fruit and vegetable production sector, very much populated with greenhouses. There was a very robust livestock, backyard, small-scale livestock production sector. We're recognizing from our damage assessments that the majority of these animal inventories, but also the infrastructure that is needed for that kind of specialty crop production, is virtually completely destroyed.
As the war in Ukraine enters its second year, what have been the losses in the agricultural sector?
We estimate that there's about $40 billion worth of damage to the Ukrainian agricultural system infrastructure. And that comes in the shape of so many different damages. That's damage to infrastructure like grain silos, laboratories, ports. It's damage to farms themselves, whether it's contamination and destruction of land, destruction of livestock, damaged equipment, whether that's tractors or other kinds of machinery that's so critically needed. And obviously, we also saw so many of the farmers themselves actually move into military service. The priority for this year is really working to demine agricultural farmland. And so FAO is working alongside WFP and another NGO that is expert in the field of demining, because what we're finding is that a very large proportion of the agricultural lands, the farmland, actually has IED or other kinds of devices that have been either intentionally or are just left there because of the military activity.
How does FAO assist farmers impacted by the threat of El Niño?
We are watching very closely the coming El Nino pattern. And oftentimes with an El Nino, we see and experience a very protracted or prolonged period of drought or dryness, reduced amounts of rainfall. And that's especially the case as we're moving into this particular year in the Latin America region, specifically what we call the dry corridor. This is really important for us to focus on because this is where a very important aspect of agricultural support comes in the space of being able to provide anticipatory action support. So predict and understand either a drought situation or extended periods of rainfall to be able to help farmers better plan for water storage, water harvesting, water management. We can help them in identifying ways that they can be better prepared in terms of planting their crops or taking care of their livestock. The dry corridor is really important to us because what we're seeing there is a very concerning amount of migration.
Thanks, Deputy Director. Now let me ask, what is the role of FAO in the improvement of the food security situation in Afghanistan?
Afghanistan is now FAO's single largest country program. We have over 400 colleagues who are there. We are in every one of the 34 provinces in the country. And the work that we are doing is really making a difference, where we are seeing finally a reversal, a return to the positive trends of reduced numbers of people who are in these food insecure situations. It doesn't mean that the problem is solved. The work that FAO has been doing there with other partners to reach somewhere on the order of 7 or 8 million farmers last year, with a goal to reach 10 million in this coming year with winter wheat seed, with animal vaccines, these types of agricultural production saving inputs that are so needed, is making a difference.
And to finish, how can we effectively address the escalating number of acute hunger worldwide?
Conflicts go on for years. Climate crises, climate issues become protracted. 8-year, 10-year droughts, floods that continue to come. So we have to carefully, all of us, find new ways to think about the right balance, the right approach to including support for farmers, support for pastoralists, support for fishermen and women into these responses, because agriculture is what really can be, I think, a part of the longer-term solution to not only working on hunger-related issues, but as we know, ultimately gets to the place where you're really trying to build resilience back into the economies, into the lives, into the circumstances that are a result of all of these very difficult situations.
Thank you so much for joining us, Beth Bechtel.
That's all for today's FAO Talks. To learn more about this topic and how the FAO is contributing to a world free from hunger, visit our website, www.fao.org. Until next time,